Hey everybody, Jay Schlansky here from the Fifth Trooper Network. I just want to take a moment to thank you for checking out this show. Did you know that over at thefifthtrooper.com we have tons of other content, including blogs, other podcasts, all kinds of stuff. In addition, if you want access to exclusive content, you can join us on patreon.com/thefifthtrooper and join at any level and you'll get access to exclusive blog articles, access to our private Discord, and much more. So please check us out and thank you so much for all your support.
Welcome to the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Fifth Trooper Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Schlansky, and my co-host and best friend is Tim Han.
Elevated. That is a lofty title.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh so hard, but for those of you at home, Tim has lived maybe an hour and change away from me for almost a year now, and we've maybe hung out twice.
It's actually been over a year now, or yeah, it's a year and like 3 months, but yeah.
Oh my god, it's hard being an adult and like trying to, especially an hour, like I find that hour is, that's the mark where it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I have time for this.
It's not the hour. It's the half hour. It's the extra half. That is the real killer on there. Because you can do an hour, no problem. Because in your mind, when you're driving, at least for me, when you're driving, an hour is slightly more than 45 minutes. And so you go, okay, like that's fine. 45 minutes is acceptable. I can push an hour. Hour and a half, you're like, oh.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
now I'm almost at 2 hours.
It's like one of those things too. Like I'm sure for those of you at home, like when you have a family and stuff and you got stuff going on, like weekends are generally occupied, you know, like you really got to negotiate with your partner for weekend time, you know? And so it's like, if I want to go hang out with Tim or if Tim wants to come out here, weekdays are tough because it's like that, you know, we're about hour 15, I think, from house to house. And so like, it's like, can I swing this on a weeknight? And it's like, no, not really. Cause I really don't want to be like getting back home at like midnight or something, you know? And
right. Well, that's the problem too. Is like, no matter what you do, it's going to take several hours to do whatever you're doing probably.
Yeah.
And so now you're not getting home till midnight, 1 a.m.
That's right. Yeah, I think we've hung out a collection of 3 times.
I know twice in my head. Okay. How about that?
All right, maybe twice then. Maybe I'm thinking of a tournament or something.
There was a tournament that we went to.
Yeah.
Yes. That was number 3.
All right. That doesn't count though. We weren't really hanging out. We were just at a tournament and we both happened to be there. Anyway, so we're back. First, before we start, I want to say go Bills. They won. Wow. We got home field against Kansas City. So very excited about that. For those of you that are friends with me on Facebook, Rachel posted a picture of, so I have 4 boys, but only one of them cares about sports on any level. And so, so we all had our Bills stuff on and Rachel, it was nice that it got moved to Monday. But Rachel like made all this. She always makes football snacks for us whenever game's on. And so we were all sitting there eating and like the other kids would come up like, oh, yeah, I want some of that chicken wing dip. And we're like, nah, you got to watch the game if you're going to get this dip. And they're like,
that's right.
They're like, what? I'm like, go make yourself a sandwich, nerd. Like, you're not getting my dip. We made one of the boys watch the game for 2 minutes. I'm like, you got to watch this for 2 minutes and then you can have some of this chicken wing dip.
You can watch like the Halo commercial or something like that. Fine.
It's funny. So anyway, so we got to watch the game, which was great, and looking forward to it. I know not everybody listening is into the football, but just wanted to throw it out there.
My coworkers have learned how into football I am, especially so NFL. I really enjoy watching and I get like a little energized about it and really enjoy it. And I've actually been an NFL fan longer, but I'm more of a college ball guy. And so and my wife both get overly excited for college ball to the point where it has made people in our house who weren't ready for outbursts, especially for me, uncomfortable because they're just sitting. Abby's yelling at the TV. That's fine. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm just sitting there chilling. But what's actually happening is I'm stewing over some kind of call or something like that. And then I just explode. Yep. And they weren't ready for that. And so it was a good time when my coworkers learned of college ball team.
That's honestly SU basketball and sometimes football is like that for me. Basketball more to a point where Rachel, she didn't even really know that I liked SU basketball because I refuse to watch it when anyone's around because I cannot tell you. I'm pretty chill, but like I've been watching SU basketball since I was and Bills and SU football since I was a kid. It honestly, like, I don't know if it like sets me in like a stage of regression to like PTSD of like my family when I was a kid, but like, dude, I get so angry. Like, I can't even sleep sometimes after it. That's how upsetting it is for me. And I don't know why. And it makes no sense. So I've had to stop watching it because it drives me nuts.
There have been games where I can't watch for UT football because it's just, and it's side note, but we don't have to go down this road, but Abby's family used to help run concessions for UT too. So her blood goes super deep, like with University of Tennessee. So it's
cultural wild.
Thing.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I keep up on it. I check the scores the next day, but it's like, I can't even like watch the live on like ESPN thing. Like I don't know, Tim, it's honestly the only thing that like touches me in the core of my belly that I get that angry about. I don't get angry about anything. Like I'm pretty like relaxed about everything. And that just like this rage just burns within me. And I like, for the sake of my family, I just don't watch it live with them. like Rachel didn't know how bad it was. And I go, listen, it's real bad. We could watch this SU game, but I'm warning you, it's bad. And she was like, we joke and tease each other. She started rooting for the other team. And I turned off the TV and like threw the controller at the couch and was like, no. And I just like walked out of the house. And like, she was like, I didn't know how serious that was. I was like,
I have a cousin who just started going to college and she's going over to Niagara. And so they don't have any sports or anything like that. So she has no dog in this fight, but she knows how much it boils our blood. So she goes Roll Tide to us sometimes for no reason. And we're just like, you don't understand because she's saying it on purpose. It doesn't bother us. We're just like, you don't understand what you're implying. Like, you don't get it.
That was that incident firmly cemented us is never watching an SU game together. And I have a hard, like, so Rachel had this little crush on Mahomes for a while until he started talking. She had never heard him talk before, right? She was just like, oh, he's a handsome young man, you know, like he's pretty good looking kid. And then we watched the quarterback Netflix show and she was like, what, why does he sound like Cookie Monster? And she like, it completely like lost it for her. Like,
I've never like heard Cookie Muppet. Monster before. I've heard Kermit the Frog all the time.
I think she says that to be funny, but it's like, you know, it's just a Muppet. He sounds like a Muppet. And so that completely lost it for her. And so so now, like, I don't even have to think about her liking Kansas City at all. So it's just Bills. And we've made it clear, both my son and I, the one son that watches, we're like, Mom, seriously, like, if you do not root for the Bills, don't even bother being here. Like, please just go somewhere else. Like,
I respect that though. I love that.
Not going to watch this with you. I don't care what kind of food you make. I will throw it all out in the garbage if you root for anybody but the Bills. Like,
I get that. Yeah. And that was my, Abby, thankfully Abby wasn't a big NFL fan. So moving up here, it's been an easy transition. Cause she's like, I don't care. That's NFL will cheer, but we're not like, passionate about it. We're not busting heads.
Bills through and through since I was a kid. I mean, you know, the four Super Bowl. I mean, it's just like, listen, I've been.
Listen, this is not this cast, but we can do a sports deep dive cast if you
want. All right. I would do it. We
can have that. I know. That's fine. Cause you can talk about Bills. I can talk about the Vols all day long.
I could just hear the idiot comments now. They don't start talking about Legion till 10 minutes in.
I was waiting for it. Yes, exactly. Yeah,
shut up.
Nerds. As we now talk about Star Wars Legion.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's that weird thing, right? So, okay, let's transition this into Legion. So when I found that the problem I have with Legion and overall for me is I am very hyper competitive, I think, by listening to my little rant about sports teams. And I played sports in the past and I'm very, very competitive person. But early on in Legion, I found that I was getting very, very upset. And to a point that it started to border on this feeling that I get with SU, with the basketball team. And I had to, and I think that is part of the reason why I don't take competitive as serious anymore. And I mean, I take it serious, but I don't, I like talking about it. I like playing. I like being competitive, but I can't go hard as I would like to, because I just don't think it's healthy for me. Or anyone else.
I feel that. And I think we've touched on this and maybe even said this before, but I've realized likewise, I'm a very competitive person. As soon as I sit down at a board game table or anything like that, I want to win. I'm automatically thinking of how to win. My family during New Year's Day, or New Year's Eve celebration tried to beat me in unstable unicorns, and we have to gang up on Tim. Tim, we're gonna get him. And I was like, no, please. It was very much an Emperor Palpatine moment where I was like, no, please. And they kept beating me. And then they let up for 30 seconds, and I went, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah,
you got nothing. I win. That's it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm all about that. But that said, I've realized that while I like to win and I want to win Legion and I'm competitive in that sense, I am not a competitive Legion player of note, at least. I'm competitive when I play it, but I'm not enough to be pouring over all the stats because it comes down to, for you, you talk about the health side of it, but in the sense of I don't have the time. Don't have the time to do that. If I was maybe a single man and living on my own and I had no other responsibilities.
Yeah.
Sure. And I'm not knocking that. That's great. I used to be that. And hey, guess what? I used to be better at Legion. The diagrams match up here. It makes sense.
Right.
And I'm not complaining. I like my life now. I'm very happy with my life, but it changes. Things change, and that's all right.
Yeah. And it's funny. And for those of you that have been listening for a while and heard me on Scoundrels and have come back over here, but I think I bounce back and forth where I'll go, hey, I'm going to be competitive. And then because I forget. And so when I played that droids list with all the fixer bots and stuff, I knew going in. I said it on all the casts. I was like, this is going to be miserable for everybody. And I knew going in it was going to be miserable. And it was exactly as miserable as I thought it was going to be. And I had to stop because I'm like, this isn't fun. I want this game to be fun. I want to do this for fun. This isn't fun for me.
Well, and that's the interesting thing about that one when you're talking about that list, because that actually was a good list and can do well. You just didn't want to run it, which is totally valid.
Right. But, well, I did well when I ran it. And then I was and then, but I was not happy the entire time I was doing it.
Right. Right.
And I think that would be the same with any hyper, if I played, Blizzard Forts or something, like a highly competitive list. I just, because I was playing Yoda there for a while and for a couple of tournaments, and it just wasn't fun. I wasn't having fun. It was just it's just because it was a competitive list, because I was trying to be competitive. I was taking it serious. I was taking it too serious. And I was beating myself up for mistakes I was making, or I was, I don't know that I was as fun to play against, for some of the players that played up against me. And so I think part of that is why I I always liked Double Heavy, because it was fun for me. And also I was good at it, or I became good at it. And then I could win with it. but I was still having fun. And
right.
I didn't go in going, I need to win because this is a competitive list. It's like, well, let's see what happens. And, you know. Well,
and I think we always have conversations about quote unquote meta and not meta and all those things. And yeah. But how often do we land on it's about the pilot? And part right. of it, the quote unquote pilot aspect is how much do you enjoy playing it?
Right.
Because I think you have to, and maybe, you know, again, maybe scoundrels would say I'm wrong, and that's fine. They're better than me, and that's they're allowed to say that. But to me, part of pilot skill is also pilot enjoyment.
Right.
And I think there are absolutely there are lists that scratch both itches.
Yes.
And there are things for different people that will scratch both of those. And sometimes those lists will fit in those nice little bubbles, and it works out great for you.
Yep.
Where you have something like a double heavy, or I think of Lila from Worlds last year, where she went so far with a very pretty odd list, but she played nothing but that list, and she I think enjoyed the list.
Right.
And I think that really counts for something.
Yeah, and I think so guys like Mike, when you go ahead, sorry.
No, no, I was just going to say, when you can line up those things in a row, it's really nice. And you can't always do that, but that's okay.
Well, and I think with guys like Kyle and Dash, Mike, they the enjoyment for them is solving the puzzle and winning, right? Being able to solve this riddle of match that's in front of them and then winning. That's the enjoyment for them. Where that solving the puzzle is not what I enjoy about the game. I enjoy having Star Wars stuff on the table and playing an army game, you know, and I think they do too, but that's not from a competitive level. That's not, you know, and I think Evan is like this. I think you're like this. And there's a few of us here over at the Fifth Trooper that are like this, but where it's more enjoyable for us if we come up with something a little kooky or a little out there, and it doesn't even have to win. It just has to perform and do well. Yeah. And we have fun and we enjoy, you know, the process of building it, the process of bringing it, you know, that part is a little bit more enjoyable.
I've been saying for a while now, if I go to like a local or something like that, if I just go positive, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm content with it, you know, unless if I'm bringing a really try hard list and I want to do really well with it. But if I'm just bringing like some list, whatever, then I just want to be positive. You know, I'd like to go 2-1 or something like that and have a good time like that. But it's interesting too, because I do think that there's, and again, maybe this would be a whole nother section in here, but back in the day when I had the time to play twice a week regularly, I inadvertently, I didn't realize this at the time, but now just looking back on it, I can see it. I had the ability to play a odd list. I won't say a bad list, because I still tried to be good with them, but like an odd list and then also a arguably more competitive list.
Yeah.
And because I had the time to try both, I was able to scratch both itches. Two different lists, but still playing Legion counts for something no matter what list you're playing. At least you're just playing is building some kind of skill set there. And so those times were when I was doing my best, because I could do everything I wanted to do. I got to play with my cool Star Wars stuff and then also win with it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You know, I think, you know, pre-COVID, I was playing probably 2 or 3 times a week, you know, and now it's more like once every couple weeks if I can luckily get it in. And it was different then, right? Because you didn't feel as committed to things, because you could just bring a couple different, like a different list each time, right? And be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna try this now. I'm gonna try this now. Yeah. So,
because I about once a week will have the itch of like, oh, I want to try this. Oh, I want to try this. And so when I can do that, that again like kind of resets me, right? And then I can play something that's probably actually good, and then get practice with that, and whatnot. But
all right, well, let's get on to the rest of the podcast. So let's start with our Patreon mailbag. All right, so for those of you who have been under a rock and who haven't been listening, we have a Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you can get on there and get onto our Discord server, where you can interact with all the folks at TFT and other like-minded individuals. And two of the new things that we've been doing is mailbag and list review. And so here's the questions from the mailbag from our Patreon members. For the first one is from user S4V3D, saved, a different way to look at saved. Let's see if he can save himself. What are your Legion goals for 2024? And he says the question explains itself.
Ooh. That, so for the past few years on some other Star Wars Legion media is all I'll say. So maybe some other podcasts. I've done this before and I've
you can say the podcast.
Okay.
For so everyone at home, Tim's on another podcast. It's called Stabcast. I highly encourage you to go listen to it.
And I'm often missing because if our lining up our recording dates is rough.
Yeah.
So it's rough.
Got him.
But no, that's actually my fault, not your fault. But anyway, but no, we've talked about this before.
Blame me. Screw you, Ryan.
We've talked about it before, and it's funny because mine have steadily declined in quality in the sense of initially I was like, I want to go positive at my events. Like I want to have a certain winning, like a 75% win record. And then I said, I want to have a 75% win record or something like that with a certain faction. And then now I don't even know. I would say I'd like to be positive on my wins, but I don't really track that like I used to. I used to track it religiously. I had a whole notebook. And now I just kind of don't, because now I'm just happy to play.
My goal is more related to content for us. And it's, you know, I think it was last episode or the one before it where we talked about potentially starting to do battle reports and streaming and stuff like that. You know, we're streaming next weekend at the Golden Sprue. And, you know, I think my goal, and I've been thinking a lot about this the last couple of weeks, is just putting out more short form content for Legion. Last year I put out a reel that was like, it's Legion in 60 seconds, and I was going to put out this series, and we did Suppression, and then literally like 2 weeks later the new rule book came out and that video was no longer relevant, and I was just like, oh yeah. Good God. And so it like took the steam out of me for it a little bit.
Sure.
But I definitely have been thinking a lot about that and getting back into that. I really want to update. We have a How to Play Legion video that's old, several years old at this point. And so I'd like to put out a new one. Most of my stuff is really like helping newer players get into Legion through video and content. That's kind of I think my goal is going to be for 2024.
When's the TFT TikTok kicking off?
I have so many things to say about that.
I know you do.
I will never get TikTok. I will never use it. I'm on the social media I'm on, and this is it. I'm not giving the Chinese my information. That's for sure.
They already have it, but okay.
Not this guy. They don't. I don't have any of their apps.
They say, wow, he does have a lot of chickens in his backyard. We're leaving him alone.
This guy's really guy's weird.
For me, I think here's a genuine one that I should do. Will I do it? No idea. But like a good resolution, you never know if you're actually going to do it.
Yeah.
I would like to make a list, a decent list. It doesn't have to be the most competitive in the world, but a decent list, and stick with it for at least 2 months. And I understand that might sound like nothing to some people, but again, for me, the way my brain works, the way I work, that's a lot. That's a big ask. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. All right. Next question. This is from Lieutenant Dan. I've played Legion for almost 2 years now, and I've never seen anyone play the MPL 57 heavies and rebels, even casually. How would you rework these so that they can be at least an option to be considered for competitive play? He loves the new mailbag and says to keep up the great content. One in the Million commented on this. This is a good one. Rebel Corps is such a pain point. You could expand the topic to which Rebel Trooper upgrades are best, how to use them, then how to make them more viable. If you take a specialist with the MPL 5.7, you can shoot with an aim after recovering, but they still stink. Yeah, anyways. So, Tim, go ahead.
No, you're the rebel person. I don't play rebels, so yeah. I only play against them. So you're the expert here.
Sure. I think the biggest problem with the, specifically the MPL-57 for the rebel troopers was that the one for rebel troopers, actually for both of them, because the other one is for fleet troopers. It's the barrage trooper. It's the fact that they exhaust. And there's no easy way to get it. And honestly, they really don't even do that much anymore. So the Rebel Trooper one is an ion trooper. It's range 1 to 3, 2 red. It exhausts impact 1, ion 1. And then the Fleet Trooper one is range 1 to 3, a black, 2 white. It has blast and impact 2. At where we are today, You literally can make both of those and they don't even have to exhaust. I think that's the biggest problem with them. If you want to make them viable, is remove the exhaust.
I agree with you. I actually think the Fleet Trooper one is pretty good, yep. Except for the exhaustible part of it. I think if you take exhaust off the Fleet Trooper one, that one's fine.
Right.
I think for the Rebel Trooper one, I think you got to take exhaust off of it. And I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't throw a fit about a white die getting thrown in there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then I would say you'd probably have to increase the cost. Because if you look at the SX-21, it's a range 1 to 2. It's 2 red, 2 white, and impact 1, right? So the big difference is the range and the ion and, you know, 2 extra dice. So you just, you know, that one's 13 points for the
I was going to say, SX. And it's 5 points cheaper. Yeah.
Right, right. So I think you remove the exhaust and you jack it up to like 23 points, you know, and I think that's fine. I think that would actually be a good weapon.
I can agree with that. Yeah.
And then I think the other one, the Fleet Troopers, just remove exhaust. It's fine the way it is.
Yeah. Agreed. But it is tricky. And I do say, like, I think impact is, I mean, it's been good for a long time. It's going to continue to be good. Especially as we keep doing series about heavies and things like that. Right. Yeah. I'd love it if people start bringing more heavies now. That'd be great. Please let us know if you're doing that. That'd be great. If it's our fault, we want to know. We'll take credit for that all day.
But we cycled out of the impact meta. Like there's some impact, but it's not as, you know, and I would say the same thing about the HH-12. And the reason there was a, because back then when those two units came, when those two upgrades came out, there's only two heavies. There was the AT-ST and the T-47. And they both look different than they look today. And it was in order to make it harder for you to like really like pin down those vehicles. But now that there's repair bots, now that there's more vehicles, now that there's all this other stuff, those aren't as strong anymore. And so I think anything like that that has an exhaust, especially of the like first and second wave, you just remove the exhaust, jack the points up a little bit. And I think that's how you fix those.
Well, and also not for nothing, it should be. So ion, I think ion is actually a really strong keyword, but here's the problem. And I don't think it's a problem, but here's the trick. How about that? Is that you have to deal damage to deal an ion token. And so if you're, this is equipped to a rebel trooper, right? So you're throwing a bunch of decent dice, but you're really just hoping for crits and like trying to get enough through there to get an ion on there can be really tricky sometimes.
Right.
Unless you have like some good token support, but most of the rebel token support is on the defense side. Right. And so you're really not looking at like an empire kind of deal. So it's a little bit trickier to pull off ion, but again, I think ion is super strong. I remember the first time I ever played against a ion heavy list was when I had an AT-ST. It was my first tournament with an AT-ST. I was all excited. And this young guy who arguably did not play the game that well, no offense, sorry, kid, but like he was a kid, but he didn't play that well, but hey, he had a lot of ion. And so he just ioned my AT-ST to never do anything. It was super infuriating. So I do think there is something to ion, but it's just getting the wounds through to do it.
100%.
It's like the poison droid for the droid. It's trying to get wounds through is always the trick with stuff like that.
Well, I really think more than ever, we need a refresh of wave 1 and wave 2. I mean, the T-47 already has its refresh. So there's some units you can leave alone because some have already gotten an update. But like the ATRT, the AT, I know the ATST is great maybe not even great. It's good in that Tempest Force, but it's as a unit by itself, it's not that great because it doesn't have blast. It's missing some stuff that like it really needs in order to be keep up with today's units. So like I really think wholesale wave one and two, some units you can exclude from that Vader T-47. But Commander Luke needs some love. I think Leia needs some love. Rebel Troopers, Stormtroopers, you know, I mean, Stormtroopers got that upgrade and Rebel Troopers got the upgrade, but no one takes Rebel Troopers anymore in today's meta.
No, you take vets, maybe fleets, maybe. That's a maybe, but you don't take
Rebel Troopers. But that wave one and two, I think, needs to take a wholesale look at adjusting points, maybe adjusting stuff like the exhaust. And I think if they could just do some small tweaks, they could prop them back up. And frankly, you know, Stormtroopers, the only reason they work is because they got an excellent upgrade pack, where the Rebel upgrade pack was mediocre. Like it has one good upgrade, you know, where the Stormtroopers had like three. So,
and that's one thing where, and I know, and again, we don't have to go super down this rabbit hole, but I actually like AMG for the most part as a whole. I think they've done a lot of good things, but one of the things they have said before, I think on stream, and I would wish they would revisit this, and I think they will, but they said initially that they didn't want to be changing card text and things as much as like points, which I get that. I understand because it does go down a slippery slope. Absolutely. But I do wish they would be a little more willing to errata certain things and update certain things, like especially from the earlier waves, because it's starting to show some of it. In more than just point costs, some of this stuff you need more than a points fix to fix it.
Agreed. 100%. All right, so let's move on to the next question. This one's coming from the Calico Kid. How do you keep a community alive when nobody wants to run it? I was the tournament and community organizer for my local scene for a few years, but I had to take a step back when I decided to go back to school almost full time while also working full time. Yeah, dude. Failure. Now, it doesn't seem anybody else is willing to step up to keep things going, and our community has basically died. Is there anything we can do, or is it time to just grab another game that's more popular in the area? So here's what I would say. It sounds like you were doing a lot. If you were organizing tournaments, you were organizing the community. You know, I think something that's quite simple that you could do is just show up. So whatever night it is, like let's say it's a Friday night at your local store. That's how ours was. Every Friday night, there's somebody there playing Legion, right? And Evan's usually there playing Legion, but now there's three or four guys. And what happens is on those nights, instead of going with like a super metalist or something you know trying to practice, go with something that looks good on the table. So I would say AT-ST, T-47, Saber Tanks, the AAT, like any of these big Vader, Maul, any of these like known, the Genosians is going to be a great one for this.
Those are going to be big for that,
get them on the table, have really nice painted models, or as nice as you can paint them, right? But have your fully painted models, put them on the table and just play a friendly game. And when people stop by and look, you just start talking to them and you just say, oh, hey man, you play war games? What do you play? You like, and just shoot the shit with them and let the models draw them in and then start having conversation. And I think if you do that just once a week or once every other week, you know, as long as on some repetitive schedule, you'll start to see people trickle in. It's going to be slow. You don't even need tournaments. If you just do it, you know, a night where people can come in and have a good time and play a cool game, like I think you'll have a better shot. You know, the other thing is too, I think this can happen in, you know, our area is very heavy in 40K. And AOS, and those are like the two big games in our area, and MCP is getting there now, but like, you know, just we've been able to draw people just by, you know, I don't show up nearly as much as I should, but I know that there's other people that have taken up that mantle for me where, you know, they go Friday nights, they play for like an hour or two and then, you know, and talk to people, and that's how people get interested. It's just seeing the game being played.
Well, and it's all about that consistency, and it's And listen, I sometimes, if any of the locals listen, they probably sound like a hypocrite because I talk about that and then I say, oh, something work came up, and which is true. It does happen. But the nice thing is we have some great locals that still show up and we've been rocking the past few weeks, probably for the last month or so, not counting holidays. We've been rocking like 6 to 8 people on a local night, which is great. And I'm very happy with that. And again, I try my best to make it out, but I can't always make it out. And what's nice is when you have a group, eventually, once you work up to getting a group that does that, everyone understands that life happens and but really try your best to be there regularly. And it's also this understanding of, and sometimes it's me, sometimes I'm the odd man out, but sometimes when you're first starting to either start a community or reboot a community, whatever, it sounds like more like a reboot in this situation, you might be the odd man out. And so it's really important to, if you're serious about growing the community, be able to say, hey, you guys play. I don't care. I'm not going to play. Or what I tend to do is I'll set up my stuff. I'll set up all my stuff. And then here's normally what happens is we might, maybe like an hour in, I'll be watching the other guys play. And it helps that I know, I shouldn't say I know all the rules, like I'm a smarty pants, but like it helps that I devote too much of my life to this game. And so I know a lot about the rules more than sometimes I get scared by how much I'm like, why do I know this? But I can't tell you certain like important dates in my life, but I could tell you this. But anyway, and so being able to be that person, but then also maybe it's an hour in, so you're probably not going to, like, no one else is going to show up, but maybe there's some guy with his kid walking by and they say, hey, what's this? And you throw down a sudden learning game or, not a game per se, but a round. Something like that, and be willing to do that. And so even just being set up with no opponent, it might look silly. This is the most brutal truth. You're going to have to get over being silly. Like, sorry, but you're going to have to get used to that. And then once you do that enough, you start to build a community where people want to be a part of that. And then people are start willing to, if you're committing your time to it, that means it's worth me committing my time to it. And then once you get a few guys going, once you get a few regulars going, and again, I'm thinking about really getting a community started, those folks then become your, if you're the, like the leader, quote unquote, then those are like the second in command, right? So if you're at work or school or something like that, and you can't do an event, they can do an event, they can help, they're going all regulars. And so your regulars become your second in command, so to speak. And again, it's not to say that there's an actual command structure or nothing like that, but there's people that are more regular than others, and that's okay. But those are the folks you start to rely on and kind of almost like a promote from within mentality.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, Mr. The Kid, how you've worded this, because it sounds like you want to be part of the community and you want to do something, but you also are saying that you didn't have time to keep the community alive. And so for me, what I would say is, if you don't have time to go like once a week or you're just looking to go to tournaments, you may have to go to a different town. Or what you could do is if you can go once a week and maybe you don't get a lot of foot traffic in your local store there, look to Facebook and just put up on your I think most stores have Facebook pages and most have groups for gaming and stuff, and just post in there, hey, I'm going to be at X store Tuesday night from 7 to 9. If anybody wants a demo of Legion, I'd love to get people into this game. And and if it's not consistent, then the next week maybe you can't do it till Thursday, but you just put on like, hey, I'm going to, and then just bring your starter set it up like Tim said. And then, you could even bring like a few of your paints and just paint while you're sitting at the table waiting for people to, and show them what you're doing and then run a demo. But
plenty of times.
I think that's the way you keep it alive. Wants to run it and no one's going to show up, then there's not much you're going to be able to do. Like, if you can't take that actionable item onto yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's hard because in the initial few months, the first few months, you are the point person, and it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of times a thankless job, and you're the opposite of getting paid for it. You're paying to do it. It's a job you are paying to go to.
Yep.
But you're trying to invest in your community, and it's hard. And I wish there was an easier way, but that's the best way to do it. And I will say this before we move on, and this sounds a little bit silly, and I think we actually talked about it on the Discord before, on our TFT Discord, but because someone asked a similar question, it might have been the same person. A big thing that I found, no matter where I'm at, for any group or any group I've witnessed grow, is having a group of its own. So like on a Facebook, normally Facebook, so like that's about all I use Facebook for these days, is organizing Legion groups. So having a Facebook group, and then really, and I know this sounds silly, having like a logo and some kind of catchy name for your town, your area.
Yeah.
And again, I know that sounds a little silly and it might be a little odd, especially when there's only like 10 people on it. But eventually that's what people kind of go to, because people say, oh, this is an established thing. You are establishing it as a thing. And so now this is what brings people. This is the start of a movement.
Yeah.
You want a great YouTube video lookup is the start of a movement. And so that's part of how you get people to your movement, is to say, hey, look at the school graphics. If you can afford to do stickers, great. Do some, like, do 100 pack of stickers. They're normally like 25, 50 bucks. And you're normally set for, I don't know, a year or something like that normally. And so that's a great way to do it. And I know, like, so locally we have the Rochester Raiders, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, it's not super amazing, like, as far as like creativity, but Rochester Raiders, cool, yeah. Rolls off the tongue. We have a logo that is a non-IP infringing, you know, Descript logo, but it looks very Star Wars-esque. And it's great. So we had stickers. And then now we had another local who is now making, or not making, but commissioning shirts and sweatshirts and stuff like that, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of thing that people rally to.
Yeah. And I would say, yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe too, it sounded like you were doing tournaments and community organizing, and maybe you need to just do the community and just, maybe, you know, and let the tournaments kind of happen organically as they come, you know, so.
Yeah. Having a group of really like three or four people that you can really rely on to do those kind of things. So that's, I think it's part of the reason why. So Knoxville now is a huge community spanning all across, really not just Knoxville, but it's going into other parts of Tennessee and things like that. There's a whole Tennessee Legion group now. And part of that was Will, Ryan, Ben, eventually me, like, so the four of us, and I'll be very transparent. I did not create events. I didn't TO events, but you know what I did? I showed up.
Yep.
I showed up, and that was my unofficial role, was to be the guy that shows up, and that's okay. Ben was great at TOing. Eventually Ryan took over for TOing because Ben had school stuff going on, but like having a couple of point guys is crucial.
Yep. Yeah, agreed. All right. So our next question is along the same lines, a little bit different. This one is from Prometheus 7. How to get a reluctant community active and engaged? A community building question, really. My city doesn't have much of a Legion community, and the relatively small group I've gathered together in a group chat just don't seem interested in Legion or anything Legion related at the moment. I've previously tried hosting a couple of game days. I got like four of us. The first and second became a mate, and I just playing a game. These days I can't even get a reply to a game request in the group. Any thoughts, ideas, or suggestions?
I mean, we kind of already said a lot of it, so kind of,
well,
it the Venn yeah. diagram crosses over a little bit.
I think, yeah, I think it does. And then my other thing I would say, right, is I'm the same way, even though we have a weekly podcast and all this other stuff going on. My attention and willingness to devote time to Legion wanes. Everyone does, right? It comes in and out. So one thing I would recommend doing that you could do is maybe just keep that group going, and instead of asking them to come play Legion, maybe play a different game. Like, maybe just, hey guys, I just want to get together and play, you know, this board game or this card game that I just got, or, you know, this other thing, just to get them active and to get them engaged. And sometimes that just leads to like organic conversations about like, oh man, you know what? I do miss playing Legion. What do you think? You want to try next week or something, you know? And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because to your point, you end up talking about it over some other game, and
yeah,
inevitably whatever game you're playing, you're going to get distracted from that game,
right?
And you'll say, oh, did you see the, you know, the new Geonosians come out, or, you know, the new thing, or or did you hear the podcast, or, you know, whatever, right. Like, you start talking about other stuff. And so if you just work that in the conversation, that can absolutely be like a kind of a yeah. natural segue, and almost like Inception style, where like planting the seed in someone's head.
And, yeah. yeah. It, well, and having the conversation to understand why they lost interest as well, or why they haven't been playing lately. And then if it's like a time related thing, well, you go, well, hey, why don't we try a skirmish game the next time we get together? That's only 60 minutes. It's only an hour. You know, we could do a skirmish game next time, because, you know, a lot of people I've found that lose interest when there's someone actively trying to play with them. It's time commitment. That's a tough one. And I mean, that's the big one, is just the time commitment to play. And so, you know, encouraging a skirmish game instead is a great way to just keep them interested and engaged.
Yeah, so. For sure.
All right, so now we're going to list review. I gotta find it. I've got like 30 tabs.
It's a fun one. I like this one. I want to talk about this one.
Well, too bad. We're not gonna.
Oh,
we're gonna talk about a different one that I didn't tell you about. Let me share my screen here for Tim and for those of you watching on video.
What one are we talking about?
What's that? No, same one. Oh. I was just kidding.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay.
Just teasing you, Tim. Yeah. So this one, let's see. I got to get over to this. This came from a Patreon listing it by the username of Mathman2723.
You say Mathman?
Yep. So ooh. Here's the thing, Math Man.
Good for you.
What do those numbers mean? Are those math related, or are those just two random numbers you picked and you want us to think you're into math? And you're like, you know what are some cool numbers? 27 and 23, bro.
You want to be a little bit higher than the 2,222 guy, but yeah. Not enough to like be too arrogant. So I get that, you know.
Just enough.
It's like 2,723 plus. There you go. It's, yeah.
I'm sure we're stupid, and there's probably like some like really famous like math equation that 2723 comes from or something, you know.
You
and
idiot.
We're like, we're just
don't
like,
you know Einstein was yeah, Einstein was
dogging
on
this guy's like, that's actually the parameters for a black hole.
Einstein was born on February 7th, 1923. Duh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think that's true.
That's not true at all.
No, I think it was born like 18
close,
90
yeah,
something or 1880 something. But yeah. but yeah, whatever it means, you know, something. Maybe that's when Hawking was born. I don't know.
Math Man, it all comes down to this. We're bad at math. And so that's why we're mocking, because we're insecure about our math skills. That's why.
Well, and also it's a terrible screen name.
Well, all right, you know, some of us are.
You're
nice.
Welcome, buddy. We are gonna tear apart your list, though. All right, so Mr. Mathman, you know, why not just go Mothman? So much cooler.
Overdone, because then you couldn't have numbers. Oh, what numbers would you have?
I don't know. There's got to be something with Mothman that's related. Like, where I don't know something. Why do you need numbers? You know, why couldn't it be
so
like
the
that
name of the
saved
list,
guy?
And Jay, like, what's the name of the list?
it is Beam Me Up, Scotty. I'm sure we're going to figure out why. Oh, because of beam cannons. So we have Clone Commander with a portable scanner. We have another Clone Commander with electro binoculars. We have a Padme Amidala with vigilance and situational awareness. We have a R2 Beep Boop. And a C3 beep boop. And then we got two phase ones with Z6. I love Z6. With Z6.
Oh, yeah.
Clone captains, emergency stims, and situational awareness. Excuse me while I roll my eyes at emergency stims. Pause my podcast voice.
Gotta keep reading them. It's okay. Keep going.
Phase two clone troopers with boil and portable scanner. And then two infantry support platforms. forms with Elite Armor Pilot, Twin Beam Cannon, HQ Uplink. They've got, let's see, they've got Our Fate Is in Your Hands, Synchronized Offensive, Aggressive Negotiations, Push, Diplomatic Cover, Assault, Standing Orders. They're running Intercept, Key Positions, Bombing Run, Payload, Hostage. Long March, Major Offensive, Rollout Hemmed In, Clear, Supply, Hostile, and Rapid. Now, let me give you Mothman 50-70-25's his thoughts on this. So the he said the general idea is to use direct to give Z6 orders so they can fire support the ISPs, support that 100%. Use command cards, HQ uplink, and authoritative to give the ISP orders. Okay. Everything else gives tokens to Padme. The ISPs can use all the same, all the aims, and the Z6s can use the dodges. Also, if the Z6s always fire support, I think they can use emergency stims as a free plus 2 health because they never activate. Is that right? So, first and foremost, Mothman 77, I would get rid of E-stims. It's 16 points that, like, I just don't think you need. You've got the clone captain, so if you got the extra health on there, I mean, I guess you don't even, yeah, I would, I don't even think I would have situational awareness on them.
I wouldn't have the situational awareness on them. I'm curious now, though, thinking about the E-stim thing, is that true? Is that how that would work?
I mean,
because it's the end of your next activation, but you don't ever have an activation if you just fire support. But doesn't using a fire support use your activation?
Yeah, it does. And I think you treat it as activated. But I remember correctly, you treat it as activated.
But yeah, we can go back and
there's like a forum posting on this. I'm pretty sure. I don't remember the exact details, but I think there was you can't do that. That's crazy.
I'm pretty sure you can't, because also everyone in the world would be doing it then. Yeah.
So what I would do, though, to fit into your list, right? So basically what I did, Mathman, was I took out the E-stims and I took out the situational. I think you're just spending a lot of points on two units that, listen, behind cover, clones behind cover, heavy cover, are going to do fine. Then they're really not going to struggle. Plus, you'll have the dodges and stuff. But what I would consider doing, if you want to keep the clone captains on them, is you could potentially maybe give them offensive push. You know, if that's, because that'll let you basically, for your first fire support, get into position with an aim. For that next turn, I'm thinking of something else. So no, that would I guess you wouldn't even need such. You wouldn't need offensive push. That doesn't make any sense now that I'm thinking this through. What would you do? Hold on, let me see. So I would take out the clone captains, and I would put in. I would just. Do you really need any of that?
Yeah. I would say not for a fire supporting unit.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's just fire supporting, let them just be.
Yeah, am I just fire support too platforms hard here and nothing to try else. to try to make that work.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, and that opens up a lot of points for you. So, like, you could even, if you wanted, I mean, you could put another phase one in there.
Okay, so hold up.
Yeah.
Here's your clarification. It is, you're right, it is a forum post.
Yeah.
But I'm making sure we're given correct information. A unit flipping over its order token face down to use its fire support keyword is not activating. If it has one or more wounds on an equipped copy of Emergency Stims upgrade card, it will not suffer those wounds until the end of its next activation, which arguably, this doesn't say this part, but arguably if you just keep fire supporting, you never activate. So sure, you could have two free wounds on there. So, good for you, man. I didn't know about that.
Let me walk that back then.
Yeah, that's from August 2023. So that's, I guess, on me for not knowing that. I didn't know. But it is an expensive trick, but it's a neat trick. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know what, math man? Sorry, we're doing this live. So I apologize. Yeah. I'm going to walk that back. I'm going to put your clones, captains back on and your E-stems back on. So I think that's all great.
Now it's great.
Well, it makes sense now.
But I so think... here's the thing, though. You could probably replicate this, though. You don't need the captain. Just make him phase twos.
All right, let's try that.
And you can still put the E-stems on a phase two. What's the point difference there? Because I know the obviously phase two is more expensive, and then the phase two Z6 is also more expensive.
Yeah, so you're looking at 87 versus 74. So you're looking at 13 point difference.
Hey, that's a big deal in a clone list. So it is a 13 point difference. So let's see. Can I get that.
Okay, so all right, but if you took out the clone captain and the situational awareness, you're actually saving points.
Well, no, sorry, that's what I meant. Sorry. I'm building it right now on my screen. Excuse me one
second. It's more than just a straight, but no, yeah, it's less than, so we're saving points overall. So yeah, I would make them phase twos for sure.
But then you have an extra body on a phase two. I don't know. I think you could go either way. But my point being is, if the training slot is your big draw for the captain and not the extra body and the suppression thing, then you can just do a phase two.
Okay. Yeah. Cause so, here's the thing, right? Like, I think the idea is with the extra body, you're just getting more health. Between the E-stims and the extra body, you're just like pumping up.
It's a thick unit.
But my problem is,
I didn't know about the E-stims trick. I'm surprised I've not seen the E-stims thing done more.
Well, because here's why. It's range three. So like, you're always going to have to be in a position to fire support. Like, fire support is they get an order and they don't do anything else. But I just don't see how that's very likely every single time. Because everything in my head is telling me that they're going to need to move, or like your opponent's not just going to keep things in the open for you to like fire support into. So it seems like very unlikely.
I see the thought process, though. If on a really crucial turn, if you want those two extra black dice to come in, it could be really clutch. Or maybe it's the difference between you losing a Z6 or not losing a Z6 or something like that.
Well, okay. So what I would say is I would keep it on there, but then I would consider putting situational offensive push on them then. Because I'm gonna go back to my original thought here, which I got all mangled up because his little thing blew my mind. But I think you consider you make them phase two Z6 emergency sims. I get what you're doing there. Fine. Then what you do though is you put offensive push on them. So then, when you're getting them into position, you move, you get your aim, you shoot. Okay. Then the next turn, your ISPs come in. And then you fire support, and then they'll stay alive through to the next activation, the next turn or whatever. But I don't think it's going to be like this indefinite loop. I think it's going to save you like maybe once or twice.
Yeah, I think that's the real problem is I don't think it saves you enough to warrant the cost.
Yeah, and by that time, you're going to be down to your leader and your Z6.
Yeah. So and here's the thing, too, that just with this list in general, I like the idea behind it, but remember that the beam cannons, when you fire support, you can only fire support that first initial shot. You cannot fire support the other two free hits off of that. Now you're still getting six attacks off your ISPs, which is great. So if you're just looking to deal suppression, cause you probably won't be killing things with the two white, two red, but maybe you never know, maybe finishing things off. But if you're just looking to deal like plank damage, great. go for it. But I think you're still better off with the impact missiles,
yeah,
because then you can split fire. You have, I think you go from having six attacks that are weak, maybe two that are strong, to having all four attacks potentially being really strong if you're fire supporting each one.
Yeah. I think that's all. Yeah, I think as much as I like it and as interesting as it is, honestly, I think the opportunity without activating those units to fire support is going to be maybe once or twice a game.
I think I agree with that.
And at that point, does it really matter? Like, because the next turn, you're probably not going to have an opportunity to fire support again.
Exactly. Yeah. The other thing too is, sorry, I have dogs, everyone. Haha.
Idiot dogs.
Is always, if you're making a fire support heavy list, to me, always try and work in fives.
Yeah.
Any way you can, because five gives you so much. I mean, you're basically getting a free direct, basically.
Yeah. So what do you think? You could.
I think you trim a lot of the fat on this list.
Yeah.
And then you can get some fives in there.
Maybe bounce one of the clone commanders and do, what do you do, like a phase one with fives?
Yeah. Yeah, phase one with fives is
so
fine.
We got 6 points. We got six points. We're still got to lose. Maybe the portable scanner
the
off
push.
The phase two.
I would just say drop the O pushes.
Yeah, you could do that too. I really like that O push on them, though.
I mean, that's
that
fair.
C6 with an aim is not a bad thing, or aims to have for other units. You know,
that's
like
fair.
If five's going to fire support or your other, like. So basically what I did was I kicked one of his clone commanders that had the Binox that was giving out an aim and getting that green token out there. But if you could do it through an offensive push and like just move them, get your offensive push and then standby, you know, it's not bad to have green tokens on the board. But so we added up, we took out the clone with the Binox and added a phase one with fives. I mean, that's not bad. That's a lot of good fire supporting. And it gives you your coordinate clone trooper back.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I think again, in a fire support heavy list, I think fives is like mandatory.
Yeah.
Because you just get you so much bang for your buck.
Yeah. So as a readjustment, we've got clone commander with portable. We've got Padme with vigilance and sitch. We've got R2 and C3PO, phase one with fives, two phase twos with Z6 offensive push, and a phase two with Boyle. And then the two infantry support flap. I hear what Tim said, but like, hey, if beam's your thing and you want to do beam, do it.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, and that's the thing is, like, if you change the beams and now you've really changed like the whole list.
Yeah.
So you really.
So let's take a look at the cards. I honestly, Tim, based on today's episode timing, I don't even think we're going to get to our unit breakdown. But
I know I was thinking about that, but we can talk a little bit more about ISPs, I guess, for a second, or we can do that another time. It's all right.
Yeah. I think we can maybe what we do, we'll finish with Mathman's list, but then what we could do is build like the ultimate fire support list. And like, okay, so we'll do that after. Okay.
Sure.
So I think all his command cards are fine. I mean, if you really wanted to do beam though, like you could almost put in what I forgot what the beam one is. Is that a two?
It is beam two, which is nice.
No, but you could put the air support in at the
air support one. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
That would be interesting. And that gives an order to one of the infantry support flat platforms, and then you could HQ uplink the other one. So that's kind of, you know, and then that continues your beam stuff going on. So that's pretty fun. I would get rid of hostage. Oh, he had one too many.
Oh, yeah. Definitely get rid of hostage on that list for sure.
So intercept key positions, bombing run payload. I'd get rid of intercept as well. I would do breakthrough.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing with ISPs too, is they are a lot faster than people realize. Like speed three on that big old pie plate is pretty solid. So, and strafe is also really strong too. So they can actually do breakthrough pretty well.
I would consider getting rid of Hemden. I know. I generally like Hemden with heavies. I don't like it with this list.
I don't like it with this list.
I like battle lines with this list. You have and maybe I would even consider getting rid of Major for advanced positions. So, and here's why. You have R2 and Padme that both have secret mission. And if you get a breakthrough, you're gonna want them breaking through to the other team's area, right? So you're gonna want all the easiest ways to do that. Long March, I understand. Yeah. Rollout is, I mean, you could almost like Long March or Rollout, maybe if you're feeling if you're feeling crazy, go in Disarray.
Sure. I don't think this list likes Disarray that much.
Okay,
really.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, well, if you're gonna go Disarray, like you would put, you're not gonna get the tokens, but you would basically put R2 and C3PO up in one of the Disarrays, and the rest of your army in the other side.
Yeah, but now you're condoning.
Or if you're doing breakthrough, you might want the ISPs and R2 up in one of the other. You know what I mean? And have the rest of your list in the other one. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's some thoughts there. Maybe Major, maybe Hemden, maybe, I don't know. I don't really like Hemden with this list.
No, I don't. No. I don't like that.
No. I would say Danger Close or Disarray. That's kind of where I would.
I would say at that point, I'd choose Danger Close, because at least the problem is that Disarray forces you to split your forces, and you're only got 9 acts.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's fair.
None of those acts want to be out on their own.
Right. You want to share.
If you put R2 and C3PO in that corner, they are going to die. They are going to get murdered.
Okay. So you got clear, supply drop, hostile, rapid. I would consider getting rid of clear, and I would put in limited viz. Because you don't have any really long range stuff here, except for your 2-pip. And you just got to keep an eye on that. Hostile, I think you're okay. Now that we've changed those phase ones to phase twos and added fives to a phase one, I think you're good with hostile. You were probably in a rough spot before with hostile. Sure. Rapid is good with this, I think, because you'll want to get those phase twos in a position.
Yep,
yeah.
That's
and
fine.
Then supply drops, I almost would want to swap with fortified. But I could see an argument for either.
I like fortified though, because with fortified you can put your fire supporting units in such a nice spot where they're right in heavy cover, and then you're protected and you're good.
Yeah, you love heavy cover. So the more heavy cover clones can have, the better they're gonna be off. But yeah, so that's kind of our mix and match of this, Math Man. And I'm not saying yours is bad. I'm just saying, I mean, listen, you put it up on the block, this is what happens. It gets chopped. Oh man, I lost my mic. Oh my god. Oh no.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
It's exploding. Tim.
It looks like it's trying to kill you.
Oh my
which,
god.
I mean,
Tim.
I get it. I mean, I get it, microphone. I'm not saying I'm cheering for the microphone, but you know.
Please hold, everyone. I'm gonna put up like a
it's okay.
Those, please stand by.
If you mute yourself, I can keep talking, but I don't want to talk about it. But yeah. But yeah, and it's one of those things where I get the desire for the beam. The beam is fun. Again, beam four plus the air support card is a great time. And I think it is really good at the end of the game to clear units and just wipe away units that might have been chipped away at. But the problem is you have to survive to get there. And my thing with ISPs, or there's two problems with them. A, with the height rules and the movement rules, they're not tall enough. And so they sometimes can't get the shots they want to get off. But then also, they can die really quickly. I don't have it happen all the time. ISPs are probably one of my favorite units, one of my favorite heavies for sure. But they can absolutely melt. And, you know, depending on what you're trying to do, you might be needing to move them as well. So they might have to spend the last turn double moving to score if you're playing like Breakthrough or something like that. And again, the problem with Fire Support and a Fire Support heavy list, and we'll talk about maybe another totally optimized super duper Fire Support list. But the other problem with that is that you're not moving a lot, and most of the objectives in the game, you gotta move. And so I think the number one problem that, clone players have is that they get stuck in one spot, and then all of a sudden turn like four rolls around and you go, uh-oh, I like mathematically, math man, can't win this because I didn't play the objective.
Oh, and that sucks. How are we feeling?
Feeling pretty good.
That got crazy. I actually took my my headphones out, so I have no idea what you were talking about.
You were wrangling a demon. That's what it looked like. Wrangling a serpent.
It was crazy. I don't even know what happened. I just like it. It imploded on itself.
That's fair.
Well, I'm back, everybody. You would think we would edit this out, but as you know, Jay doesn't edit any podcasts.
Nope, that's why I kept talking. There you go.
It's super real. While I was yelling, "Oh God, no, Tim, no!"
Yeah, if you were crying for help, we couldn't hear it, and we wouldn't have cared anyway.
Oh
so
my God. All right. So, do we want to build one?
Talking about fire support lists, let's go for gold here, right?
Okay.
So I'm actually most of the way through one. I'm 784 out of 800. I'll tell you to you. You can rebuild it on your screen.
Yes, please.
So you got, obviously we're going to do double ISPs because those things were freaking made for fire supporting, literally. Okay. It's their whole purpose. So double ISPs with the elite pilot. Actually, I put the blaster cannons on these guys. All the same points. So, you know, kind of whatever you want to do. But I think if you're talking about just big die pools, it's an even bigger die pool. I think the rockets are still better, but it's a bigger die pool. So there, go for it. And then for reasons we're about to disclose, double comms relay as well.
Okay.
You could do just one comms relay if you wanted to. But anyway, double comms relay. Right now, Commander Cody with targeting scopes. And again, we're not done building it yet because we're on a 784. Clone Commander, naked. Naked is the day he was birthed from the clone vat.
In the cryopod.
Yeah. Three phase ones with Z6s.
Loving it.
Yep. Fives in a phase one. Sorry. Yeah, fives in a phase two right now is what I have him. Excuse me. And then boil with a mortar in a phase two. So that, looking at that, you're at 9 activations, 784. So obviously we still have plenty of room to tinker and tailor.
I mean,
and soldier
you could,
and spy
you could
and
put
stuff.
A Z6 in that one, but I think you want the mortar to stay out of.
Yeah, I think he's hanging back. He's not going into the front. So, yeah.
Ooh, I like this. I like this.
I mean, it's anything you shoot's going to die.
Yeah.
So, for the most part, and again, if you wanted to swap the blaster cannons for the missile pods, that's fine. Same points, so whatever you want to do.
I like this. I mean, the cannons,
I'm just
are
thinking of generating large die pools.
Six black dice, and if you can get a Z6 fire support into that, that is a lot of dice. That's 12, 16.
16 surging crit.
Yeah, critical too.
Yeah, you don't even need critical because once you fire support, it automatically gets surge crit because of the pilot. So, yeah.
The other option you can is with the gunslinger. You could split it and have both your Z6, two of your Z6 squads go off.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point of the list is to get as many fire supports as you can. And also, hey, guess what? Commander Cody, he's really good at being a fire support platform himself. Yeah. He makes a great fire support platform, and that's why he has targeting scopes.
Also
be for putting O push on Cody. See it all the time. Because again, he wants aims with lethal, especially.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. And what, you're 790?
790. Might as well go to as close as 800 as you can get.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's easy enough. A couple 5-point upgrades.
So, what do you do with the relays?
What?
You said two comms relays on the infantry.
So you can do only one if you wanted to. The second one is like an insurance policy in case one goes down. But really, those are for Cody's direct, because then his direct gets relayed over to a clone trooper, probably to fives, and then goes to someone else. And so here's the great thing is with that system, with this list, without any other edits, you every turn, no matter what command card you play, you are automatically getting out 1, 2, 3 free orders every turn. So you're getting 3 fire supports basically. So that can either be 5s and 2 Z6s. That's all it's going to be. You're not going to really put one on the mortar, and so then you have freedom to put your other orders wherever the heck you want. Put one on Cody. This is actually what I would normally recommend, but because Cody has target 1, so you want to give him the order when you can.
Yeah. I like it. That is a lot of fire supporting.
It really is. Yeah. And you surge crit when you fire support with the ISPs. So ISPs are a lot of fun. If I had my second one painted, I strongly debated bringing them to LVO. Because LVO, at the time of this recording, I'm weather permitting, I'll be flying to LVO tomorrow. So
you're going to be fine.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully should be all right.
You could tell you've only been in New York for a year and a half. Still
in this
about
part of New York, yes, correct.
Still yeah, Long leaving, Island. Leaving. Well, snow. It's not really New York. It's Long Island. It's a different place. I mean, it's part of New York, but it's for those
I
of
never
you
thought
that
I'd
been
hear from a Western New Yorker, Long Island's not really New York. Okay. Okay.
Listen, I love Long Island. I don't really consider New York City New York. Like,
so what's New York? Albany?
I think from White Plains up.
All right. Anyway, so there's your fire support list. I think it's...
You're telling me that New York City and Long Island, the whole island down there,
yeah,
is, you think of that as the same as the rest of the state?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no, sorry. I think of it as better than the rest of the state. I apologize. Yeah.
I think you're completely wrong.
Remember,
the only people digging tunnels under my house is me for my bunker.
For the chickens, Jay. For the chickens. Mm-hmm. But no, there's your fire support list. You could put 10 more points of upgrades on there, no problem. You can easily just throw 2 5 kind of freebie command card or command upgrades on there. Or I don't hate the idea with a fire support heavy list. I don't hate deep bidding with a 10-point bid.
Okay. So honestly, let's go through command cards then. Where are you putting for your 1 pip?
It's got to be synchronized and bring it down.
Okay.
Easy.
Yep.
Easy. On that 1 pip, I think now at that point you're dealing out, what, 5 orders, something like that? I don't know. It's something gross on a 1 pip. Not his 1 pip, the other one.
Oh, the other one, right.
The synchronized, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're putting out tons of orders on that one. All right. At your 2 pip.
Air support.
Yep.
We love us some air support.
I love air support, yep.
And have I ever let you down? It's always solid. You always put that extra one on boil. We've talked about that before, so we don't have to go over that. But put it on boil so that way if he takes a wound, Cody can shoot back.
All right. 3 pip.
And then 3 pip. Attack of the clones and combined arms. And the nice thing here too is if Cody goes down, if someone targets Cody, which is arguably the right call when facing this kind of list, Clone Commander can still play all those other command cards, and they're all still really good command cards. So it's okay. Yeah. Not the end of the world.
All right. Objectives.
KP. Okay. You want objectives that involve moving the least. And so here's the only thing I would say is you would normally want sabotage, but with the tie rules right now, you would lose on a tie. So you don't want that. If you go to 800, if you end up taking this list to 800, absolutely put sabotage in there.
Yeah.
For sure.
So you probably want
to hit bombing run.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Bombing
cut
run.
You off there.
Yeah. Intercept if you don't want to move.
I know bombing run's the opposite of not moving, but like we said, with the 3 speed and the bases, we already talked about that.
I don't hate Breakthrough.
I don't hate Breakthrough for the same reasons as Bombing
because
Run.
You're not moving your army, you're just moving the ISPs. So basically what you're doing is you're just holding your army and going, I friggin' dare you to come into my zone. And when they do, you destroy them and then you fly your ISPs into theirs.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Yeah. Deployments.
Battle lines.
Yep.
Major.
Yep.
Probably rollout. I would say rollout.
I think there's an argument for advanced.
There is. Absolutely there is. And I think this is the argument. I think I would go advanced over long march.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. Because that gets your guys into fire support range right away.
All right. Conditions.
Ooh. Do conditions and we'll come back. I just thought about those 10 points of where we're going to put it. But anyway.
All right. Perfect.
Go back. It's okay.
Forward five.
Not Limviz.
not for this one. Nope.
Not Limviz. Supply drop.
Yep.
You want supply drop because expressly for the purpose of obviously your medics, but also the arc welders, because you can heal the ISPs if they get hurt.
Is that where the 10 points are going?
Yeah. Well, hold on. You still got two more. You got two more green.
Yeah, I know, but you said arc welders and we don't have those in the list. So I was like, is that where your 10 points is going?
No, that's what you have supply drop for.
Oh, supply drop. Supply. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. I actually don't hate. I know clones normally hate minefield. I don't hate minefield on this.
No, if you're staying still, you won't. Yeah.
Right. If you're saying come get me, then
right.
Yeah. All right. And then here's the ten points.
Yep.
And this is actually funny enough where you would now hate minefield, but whatever. recon intel on everybody except for Boyle, but Boyle already has it baked in anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't have to recon.
That's true, yeah.
So you
have 2 points left, so now you can
put one on
the clone commander. There you go. Boom. Boom. Now you're at 800. Now I would put sabotage in there. Probably swap out, probably bombing run, breakthrough, wait till the end. So yeah, put in sabotage and boom, there you go. And I think that's solid. And again, maybe you would change up minefield because now you might be walking into mines and that's kind of dangerous, but whatever.
I think it depends. I like minefield as a potential option. Like, okay, no matter what you get, you don't have to do recon. It's not a requirement. It's a nice to have, not a have to do. So like,
right.
If you set it up in a way where your opponent, like let's say it's breakthrough and your opponent doesn't have any vehicles, you don't care about minefield. You just go, yeah, I'm just going to sit here. You come on down. I'm going to blow you to holy hell, and then I'll bounce an ISP into your zone once I'm done.
If I could build and paint an ISP in a few hours, I could build and bring this to LV.
It's not going to be good, but you could definitely get three colors on it.
Yeah.
You do is you just spray paint the whole thing white. You paint those little edges red. And then you put like black on the stormtrooper, on the clone trooper,
and you're
pilots,
good.
And you're off to the races.
Amazing. But yeah, I think that's a really solid list. Like again, you're gonna kill anything that comes. Now here's the trick. You know what this dies to? Not even so much melee, because melee is probably gonna get murdered before it touches you. This dies to a range four list.
Yeah. But that's now, why, like, if they have something with a bunch of range four, you might want to consider getting the ISPs up in their face early on and just like.
Well, so you could make a workaround. We don't have to unpack all of this, but you could do the workaround where you have the missile pods instead of blaster cannons. And then you'd have to finagle some things, drop the recon intels, but you could make all the Z6s, make them into the DC-15s.
Yeah.
And now you're range four. Congrats. Right.
Yeah, but I almost like this at not range four. You know, and then that almost puts in an argument for a swap out from minefield to limited viz. I know that's not great, but I think it puts you in a better position.
That would be awful because now you can't shoot range four.
No, I mean, well, you can't who you only have what, one that can shoot at range four, two, one.
No,
right?
that's what I'm saying is if you changed out everything to make it a range four list.
No. I'm saying if not, what I'm saying is keep it at the range three list and then swap minefield for limited viz. I think there's an argument there. I know you had said originally you didn't like that in this list, but I think
I see
having limited viz is kind of an option if you do face a range four list to at least let you get in position before it starts going off. I could see that. Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, there you go. There's your fire support list, everybody.
Wow. We really, we pulled an audible to go back to the top of the hour. We pulled an audible on this podcast. We were going to talk about the saber tank today, but I like this better.
Yeah, this worked out. It was a natural segue, so that was good.
Yeah, it was perfect. All right.
Well, there you go. Yeah. ISP all the way. Swamp boats. Swamp boats of doom. Fire support swamp boats.
Yeah, love it. Well, thanks, everybody. For those of you going to LVO, have fun.
I'll see you there.
And if you're still listening and you want to come to Golden Sprue, you should definitely sign up because that's next weekend and we're going to have a great time. And
yeah.
We'll tear apart your list live on stream. So
thank you, Mothman.
Yeah, Mothman 71. You did it, pal.
TK421.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
This has been a Fifth Trooper production.